Philippians chapter number 2. You might remember that on Memorial Day weekend, I preached from Philippians 2 about being a hero for Christ. And we learned that a true hero is someone who gives sacrificially. And so a hero for Christ is a sacrificial servant of Christ. And our example from Philippians chapter 2 of such a servant was a man by the name of Epaphroditus. Well, then after that, I went out to the camp for their staff training one evening, and I challenged them from the same passage of Scripture about service. And since the camp staff is not here this morning, you might have noticed that, I thought I would share that follow-up message with you today as well. And I think it's a good time for me to challenge our church about service, because in many ways, in many different ministries, it is time to start serving again. You know, we have been talking about getting things back to normal. Now, over recent weeks and months, this spring, as things have been getting back to normal, I've been trying to emphasize some of the basic things that we need to get back to normal. So we've had a baptism emphasis, we've had membership, stewardship, Christian education, all these things. And today I want to speak to you again about service. What does it look like to get back to normal in the area of service? Well, right now we are trying to get Sunday school started again. Which will require some organization and new teachers. We're seeking to get our bus ministry off the ground again very soon. We need to get our greeters ministry going again. We want to start our ushers working again, and we want to start passing the plates and services very, very soon. We want to get our choir started again. We have vacation Bible school that we're planning for this summer. And so it is time for us to get serving back to normal at Calvary Baptist Church. So, as we think today about serving the Lord, I want to ask you a question as I get started here today. You think about this, and if we were in a smaller situation, I would probably ask you to be interactive. I'm not going to ask you to do that today. So just kind of think in your own mind what you would answer to this question. What are some wrong reasons for serving the Lord? Don't say anything out loud. Don't give it away, you know. But you just think about it. What are some wrong reasons for serving the Lord? All right, now, I don't know what popped into your mind, but if I could just share with you some of the wrong reasons, and then I also want to share with you the right reason. Some wrong reasons for serving the Lord that come to my mind, first of all, is because you love people. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, well, that doesn't sound quite right. I mean, shouldn't we love people? Yes. But you know why that's not the right reason for serving the Lord? Is because sometimes people are not very lovable. And sometimes people will not love you back. And so although it's a good thing to love people, that is not the right reason to serve the Lord. You won't have staying power if that's your core motivation. Number two, the wrong reason is because you love to make people happy. Don't we like to make people happy? I like to make people happy. I like to say yes when people ask me things. I don't like to be the king of no, you know? I mean, how many of us like to be the king of no? I mean, we like to say yes. We like to make people happy, right? But that can't be your motivation for serving the Lord, or you will become a people pleaser. You will care only about making people happy, and that will lead you astray. Another wrong reason to serve the Lord is because you love to serve. And again, serving's good, and it's a privilege to serve. But you know why that's not gonna get the job done is in your service for Christ? The reason is because sometimes it hurts to serve. Sometimes it's not gonna be something that you love. It's gonna be something that causes you pain. Another wrong reason to serve the Lord is because you love the lifestyle or the pay or the benefits. That should go without saying. But there are some people who are in positions of service, perhaps because that is their core motivation. If that is your motivation, the lifestyle, the pay, the benefits, that will lead you to become a hireling, what the Bible describes as a hireling, somebody who is only doing the job for the paycheck. And again, that is not a sufficient motivator to serve the Lord. The love of money, the Bible says, is the root of all evil. Another wrong reason to serve the Lord is because you love the preeminence, the position, or the praise of men. That motivation will turn you into a compromiser. You'll do anything. You'll compromise any truth in order to have position or power or preeminence or the praise of men. Another wrong reason to serve the Lord is because you love having fun, or you love working with kids, or you love meeting new people, or anything else that you can get for yourself from your service for Christ. And again, folks, not all of those things that I have said are bad things. And I'm not saying that we can't or that we won't enjoy any of those things as we serve the Lord. But if your service is going to be right, it has to have the right core. It has to have the right internal motivator, the right heart, and the only right reason and the only right motivation that will keep you serving the Lord Jesus Christ fruitfully and faithfully over the long haul in your life is because you love the Lord. Because you love the Lord. So you may remember the story from John chapter 21. I preached on this passage, I think, this last Easter Sunday, so it wasn't too long ago, but the Lord Jesus appeared to seven of his disciples by the Sea of Galilee, and they were out there fishing, and he revealed himself to them, and they came and they ate breakfast with him on the shore of the lake, and after they had enjoyed that wonderful time with the risen Christ, he looked at Peter and he asked him a very probing question. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Three times he asked him that question. Why? Well, Peter had denied the Lord, and three times Peter had denied Christ. And now, as the Lord Jesus was reinstating Peter to his position of service and letting the other disciples know that Peter was recommissioned to serve the Lord, he asked Peter for three confessions of his faithfulness to Christ. This was a new Peter, though. This wasn't the old boastful Peter. Because every time the Lord asked him, Peter, do you agape me? Do you love me with that highest form of love? Peter would respond with a different word, phileo. I have a strong affection for you, Lord. It didn't mean he didn't agape him, but he wasn't going to be presumptuous. And three times Peter confessed his love for Christ. And what did the Lord tell him after each confession? He gave him a commission. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Do you see how service for the Lord is predicated upon your love for the Lord? Folks, that is all there is to it. In the same way, I'm asking you today, believer, will you serve the Lord because you love the Lord? Period. See, the bottom line is that this is the only kind of servant that the Lord Jesus will trust with his sheep. A servant who loves the sheep because his heart belongs to the shepherd. So I want to ask you today, what is your basic motive for serving the Lord? For that matter, what is your basic motive for living? Okay, because if you're a believer, all of life is an act of service. You are offering up your whole life as a living sacrifice. All of life is an act of service for the Lord. So what is your basic motive for serving and for living? Is it basically self-centered or is it Lord-centered? So this morning, I want to show you the record in God's roll book of heroes here, right alongside the record of Epaphroditus that we looked at back on Memorial Day weekend. I want to show you the record of another faithful servant of the Lord Jesus Christ who served the Lord out of the right motive. And I want you to see the example of service in this man, and his name is Timothy. And our text here is in Philippians 2. And we're going to start reading today at verse number 19. So please follow along in your Bible as I read. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy, shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Now, one key description of Timothy is found right there in verse number 22. It says, you know the proof of him. And that word proof was a word that was used in that time, the Greek word there, from which our English word proof is translated, it was used to describe the testing of metals. And so the idea of the word is that Timothy was tried and approved, that he had been tested, and that his service for Christ had been approved, that he had passed the test. The genuineness of his service and of his motives were evident, first of all, to the Lord, but not only that, also to Paul and to the churches as well. Now, like Timothy, believer, you also will be tested in your service. If you say that I love the Lord and I'm going to serve the Lord, you are going to be tested in your service for Christ. And I believe as we look at this passage today, that this passage, the Word of God, will also test your motives for why you serve Christ. And so I want to share with you today from this passage four characteristics of an approved servant of Christ, the kind of servant that God approves of and therefore will delight to use. Number one, the approved servant of Christ cares. He cares. Now, if you look back at verse number 20, notice Paul says, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. No man like-minded. Literally, no man of equal soul. Isn't that a very interesting expression there that Paul used to describe Timothy? What does it mean to have equal soul? Well, the word soul there, I don't think it's just talking about his mind. I mean, it's not just that Timothy knew the right information or that he had the right set of beliefs. No, this word soul goes to Timothy's motives as well. So today we would say heart, okay? The seat of our motives, what motivates us. Comes out of our heart. That's the way we would say that today. And so what we see right here, folks, is that being approved as a servant of Jesus Christ starts with your heart. You have to have the right kind of heart. And proven servants of Christ were in short supply. When Paul was thinking about sending Timothy to visit the Philippians, he didn't have a lot of servants to choose from. In fact, only one man was available who had the right primary qualification. And that was not a college degree. It was not a list of references on his resume. It was not an impressive accounting of his experience. It wasn't even Timothy's many talents or abilities. And again, all of those things may be fine in their place, but the primary qualification is a heart that loves God's sheep because it has been filled with love for the shepherd and the love of the shepherd for his sheep. So that's the kind of heart that Timothy had. Notice that Timothy's heart revealed itself in his care for God's people. He says, I know that Timothy will naturally care for your state. Just paraphrase that. What that saying is, he'll genuinely tend to your affairs, to your needs, with great concern. The word care there means that Timothy would put great effort into meeting their needs. Not just that he could feel care, but that he would care for them, actively care. That he would make a fuss over them. And that word naturally means he would do this genuinely. He would do this sincerely. He would do this because it was who he was. It was in his heart. In other words, the approved servant of Christ will really love God's people through and through. That will be his natural, no, his supernatural motivation. And that love, which is really God's love within, will be the driving force behind all that he does. So God is still looking for servants that he can trust to care for his people and show them his love. There is still a need today for men and women of equal soul with a Timothy. So let me ask you, are you truly loving people with the love of Christ? If so, you'll want to care for them. You'll want to invest in them. You want to give. You will want to extend yourself into their lives. And so, is your life about others, God's sheep, because your heart is full of love for the shepherd, or is it really about yourself? I want to encourage you to make yourself a man or a woman of equal soul with Paul and with Timothy by making your heart beat for people with the love of Christ. Because it's about the people. Your life as a believer in Jesus Christ is about the people. It's not about pleasure. It's not about possessions. It's not about whatever pleases you. It's about the people. People need to see the love of Christ through you. So love the shepherd and then love the sheep with his love, like Timothy did. The approved servant of Christ cares. Secondly, the approved servant of Christ seeks. He seeks. Look again at verse number 21. Paul said, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. That word seek means to strive after a desired goal, to be bent on a certain objective. Think about yourself, you know, trying to navigate yourself to some unfamiliar destination. And so you've programmed that into your GPS and you are carefully following the directions on your GPS because you are seeking to arrive at your destination. You're striving for that goal. And what a contrast that we have right here in this verse, okay? Because on the one hand, Paul talks about the all. Who is the all? I think in the most general sense, the all is the whole of humanity. He says all are seeking, they are striving after their own desires. Folks, it is just self-centered human nature to pursue our own ways, our own pleasures, our own priorities, our own stuff, the things that are most important to us, which, by the way, is one reason why many people do not make much effort to serve the Lord. Because serving the Lord requires sacrifice. It requires you to die to your own stuff. But Paul said, all seek their own. Yep. You look at the vast host of humanity, and people are living for themselves. But on the other hand, the contrast, some few faithful servants of God, like Paul and Timothy, are striving after the things of Christ. So again, I'm asking you some probing, introspective questions today. Right out of this passage, I'm asking you, which category do you fit into? I mean, it's one or the other. Which category do you fit into? Are you seeking your own things? Would that be the best description of the way you live your life? Or are you truly seeking the things of Christ? Let's drill down on that. Let me ask you a couple other questions to follow that up, okay? What keeps you from serving the Lord? What is it that hinders you from taking a step of faith forward in service for Christ? Is it possible that what hinders you is that you are focused on seeking your own things? I don't really have time to serve the Lord. I don't really have time to invest in others because I'm too busy about the things of me. And then if you do serve, why? Why do you serve the Lord? Is it because you serve Him because of the things that you can get out of it? Or is it because you truly believe that the Lord Jesus is worthy of your service and you are willing to die to yourself so that you can serve Him? Now, there are some commentators, and it is possible to read this verse. When you look at verse 21, Paul said, all seek their own. It's possible there that when Paul said all, he had in mind, in particular, all the other servants that Paul could have sent to Philippi. So it could be that while the all may best apply to the whole lot of humanity living for self, yet it could also apply even to those people who were serving Christ with Paul in Rome. Paul says, I don't have anybody else of equal soul with Timothy. That would be a sad testimony if Paul was specifically talking about the other workers in Rome with him there. But you know, the truth is that many Christians do serve Christ out of self-centered reasons. And only as long as it is in their best interest. Again, that's just our, we have that part of our flesh. What's in it for me? What can I get out of it? And we bring that mentality even to our service for the Lord. What am I going to get from serving? What's in it for me? Sometimes we serve out of those reasons, and we serve as long as it seems like we're getting what we want to get. And when that's no longer the case, or when the going gets tough, then sometimes, sadly, we tend to fade into the woodwork and disappear. I think of another servant who at one time looked like a faithful servant of the Lord. His name was Demas. You remember him? And yet, what is the final record of Demas mentioned a few times, I think three times maybe in the New Testament, as a co-laborer, a co-worker with the Apostle Paul, spoken of favorably until the last mention, it says, Demas hath forsaken me, Paul said to Timothy, having loved this present world. Oh, one time he looked like a servant of the Lord, but essentially his motivation was all about himself, and when it was no longer pleasing him to serve, he abandoned his service and he abandoned his testimony and he just went out into the world and lived it up there to get what he could for himself in the moment. Believer, if you want God to come knocking at your door when He has a job that needs to be done, then you need to demonstrate that you will give your first and your faithful attention to His work above your own desires. Because an approved servant of Christ seeks, strives after the right thing, not the things of me, but the things that are Christ's. And again, that reveals the heart orientation of the servant, doesn't it? Number three, the approved servant of Christ serves. He serves. That seems pretty self-explanatory, doesn't it? I mean, that's kind of a circular statement there. The approved servant serves. But let's not just assume that. Look again at verse number 22. Paul said of Timothy, "But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel." So Timothy was not being sent on this assignment to Philippi as a newbie in the service of the Lord, okay? He had already been tested in service for Christ, and he had been proven faithful to the Lord and Paul. He had labored alongside Paul like a son with his father. In the closest of all possible human bonds, Paul wasn't his earthly father, but he was his. Timothy was like Paul's son in the faith. Paul had taken Timothy under his wing at an early age, and he had raised him almost as his own, and had discipled him, and had mentored him, and had trained him for the ministry. And Timothy had passed through many hard trials with Paul. He had been there when Paul was having hard times, when Paul was suffering for the testimony of Christ. But when the going got tough, Timothy stayed by the stuff, and he became a battle-hardened veteran soldier of Christ, and he became a man that Paul could trust implicitly. That's what Paul was saying here. He says, if I send Timothy to you, I know that I can trust that Timothy will care for you like I would. I can count on him to serve and to get the job done that needs to be done. Could I make a couple of applications here? First of all, if you want to be fruitful and approved in your service, be a servant that others can trust. And serve with them like members of the same family in the gospel. You've heard this statement before, but I'm going to say it again. The most important ability is dependability. Boy, there's a lot of truth in that statement when it comes to serving Christ. The most important ability is dependability. What's another word for dependability? Faithfulness. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. When you stand before the judgment seat, you will not be evaluated for how many talents did you have or what could you do, but what did you do with what you could do? Were you faithful? Were you dependable? Did you stay by the stuff? Did you see it through? And I want you to notice here, folks, that Timothy's commendation in this passage was not based just upon what the Lord thought. Obviously, the Lord approved, or it wouldn't be in his inspired word. But, folks, his commendation was also based on what Paul and on what the church thought. It matters what others, such as ministry leaders, perhaps, it matters whether they can count on you to be faithful in your work of service. That is part of the testing of a servant. Part of the testing of a servant is that you're going to be put into the fires of service, and you're going to be tested, and you're going to be found to whether you are going to stick by the stuff or whether you will run for the hills. Will you be faithful to serve through thick and thin? And I'm afraid, folks, that this is how many times our essential self-centeredness in our service really shines through. That we serve only so long as it seems fun or pleasurable or purposeful for ourselves, but when it gets difficult, we quit serving. The approved servant of Christ serves. If you want God to call you and to use you to serve Him in the future, if you would like God to be, you know, you want to be available to the Lord, then be faithful in your service now. Whatever service God has given you. It may be something small, but do it faithfully. Do it like Timothy. Be a servant that others and that God can count on, that can trust implicitly. I don't have to be watching them. I don't have to be standing over them. I know that they will get the job done right because they love the Lord and they love people with God's own love. If we can't expect God to give us some more important job to do later if we're not getting the job done now. You see, that's how stewardship and service works. If we're not doing our best now. And let me just say this. Maybe you're young and inexperienced in serving the Lord. Maybe you haven't had a lot of opportunities. Maybe you're just getting started in a life of serving Christ. And that's great. Just kind of like Timothy, you know, he got started as a young man, coming alongside Paul. Just do like Timothy did when Paul first met him. Don't let your youth and your inexperience hold you back from serving the Lord, but find some more experienced servant and stick close to that person. And let that person train you and disciple you and equip you like Paul did for Timothy. The approved servant of Christ serves, and he serves in a certain way, in a way that is found to be trustworthy. All right? Number four, the approved servant of Christ goes. He goes. Would you look back at verse 23? Him, that is Timothy, therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. That word him there is literally this one. Okay, so that emphasizes Timothy's unique standing as a servant of Jesus Christ, an approved servant. Paul was saying to the church, this man is my first pick. Okay, this is my first choice. Timothy is my number one draft selection. I am sending you my very best servant. Him. And you know, we might be tempted to kind of jump over verses 23 and 24 because it kind of just reads like the details of Paul's personal travel plans and all of that. But I think they really have probably the central truth of this passage, perhaps. And that is this. Paul needed a man to go, so Timothy went. It was a given. The ultimate test of the approved servant of Jesus Christ is that he or she goes. What do I mean? I mean, the approved servant of Christ doesn't just see the need. He meets the need. He doesn't just hear God's call. He answers the call. He doesn't just talk about going or think about going. He goes and he does the job that needs to be done for the glory of God. I'm talking about follow through here, which is a part of faithfulness. I think a lot of times as believers, we like to give ourselves a lot of credit for our intentions. Oh yeah, well, I plan to do that. But are you doing it? Are you practicing it? Are you following through? See, that's what Timothy did. He followed through. He went. He spent his entire life, just like Paul, going and serving Christ where the need was greatest. Hey, if they need me in Philippi, I'll go to Philippi. Later on, we know that Timothy was placed in bonds just like Paul had been before him. You can read about that in the book of Hebrews. It tells us that Timothy was in bonds. We know also that later on, Timothy eventually pastored the church in Ephesus just like Paul had done before him. And then tradition tells us that Timothy also, like Paul, met a martyr's death there in Ephesus, just like Paul had done in Rome before him. Timothy, just like Paul, could say, I have fought a good fight, finished my course, kept the faith. Timothy, just like Paul, was an approved servant of Jesus Christ to the very end. He finished strong. And folks, the truth is that proven, caring, seeking, going servants of Jesus Christ are still in short supply today. Just like they were when Paul was looking for a man to send to Philippi. God is still looking for proven servants that He can call and He can send, whether He's going to send them to some point of a distant point of the compass or whether it's going to be sent closer at hand. It does seem, now with the perspective of age, not that I'm that old, but it does seem that fewer are answering the call today. Why is that? Is that because God doesn't need servants anymore? Is that because all the work that needs to be done for Christ in this world is done and we might as well just, you know, it's kind of like, you know, kind of like in school, you know, the last 15 minutes of the afternoon school day on a Friday afternoon, you know, we got all our work done, so we're just going to kind of sit back for a little bit here until the bell rings. Is that what we're called to do as believers? Just kind of sit back for the last few minutes of the church age until the bell rings, I mean the trumpet sounds, and the Lord Jesus comes? I remember talking to a man, couple years ago was telling me about a well-known Christian college. I'm not going to name the name because I'm not trying to say anything about them. I'm just talking about the trends, talking about how there were so few men in the ministerial class of that school. Is God not calling people anymore? I don't think that's the issue. There's still a need, and God is still looking for some proven servants that He can call and send and use. So let it not be said of us that when the Lord came looking for some qualified candidates to serve Him here at Calvary Baptist Church, that He could not find anyone of an equal soul with Timothy. Let that not be the record of Calvary Baptist Church. The Lord was looking for some servants, but could find none. Let's not let it be said of us that when the Lord put out His call for workers, that we didn't hear because we were too busy seeking our own things. And let it not be said of us that when we had the opportunity to be tested and approved in the Lord's service, that we hit the eject button and we took the easy way out and we failed the test. If you're going to serve the Lord, you are going to be tested. Not every potential servant will pass the test of service. But by the grace of God, you can. You, I'm pointing to all of you, okay? You can pass the test, not in your own strength, but in the strength of the Lord. You can strive for the things of Christ, and you can strive mightily because there is one who works within you mightily, enabling you to strive and to stick to it through thick and thin. So will you step forward to serve the Lord? Will you make yourself of equal soul with Timothy by first of all loving the shepherd and then loving his sheep? Will you be faithful? Will you take up a cross? Will you stick by the stuff? Will you not just see the needs but meet the needs? Will you pass the test? Will it be said of you one day at the judgment seat, I know the proof of that servant. Tested and approved. Found faithful. By God's grace, let's make that the record of our service for Christ. Would you bow your head with me, please? So the message today was primarily for believers. So Christian, as our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, are you loving the Lord with all your heart? Because that's the only right motive for service. That's where it starts. Or is there some other love that's on the throne of your heart that's taking God's place? Are you ready and are you willing to get back to normal in your service for the Lord? Are you demonstrating that most important ability in a servant? Dependability? And will you demonstrate that by the grace of God? Are you ready to be tested? And are you determined, again, by the grace of God, to pass the test? I want to encourage you right now, the invitation today is to check your motives and your methods of serving the Lord. Are you caring, seeking, serving, and going? And I want to ask you during this invitation just to take some time to pray and ask the Lord to help you to pass the tests of service and to become an approved servant of Jesus Christ. That's the invitation for believers. If God is speaking to you today, we're getting back to normal in invitations, so you can always pray there in your seat, but it may be that you should slip out and come, and you should be serious about the decision, the desire of your heart that you want to speak to the Lord about today. And just from a standpoint of humility, to get on your knees before the Lord and ask Him to equip you and to enable you to be faithful.